Well, good morning. If you would, turn with me, please, to Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk. Been really blessed by some of these shorter books of the Bible, these prophets who are short and sweet, right to the point. And today we're going to look at Habakkuk a little bit and his example, specifically about watching and praying. In Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus is in the garden, he tells his disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray over there." And then when he comes back and finds them, he says to Peter specifically and says, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And then he says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." So today we're going to be focusing on the idea of watching and praying and what we could learn through there. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 2, we'll just read a few verses for now. Starting in verse 1, it says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment that we can come before you, the Almighty God. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from up above, from you alone, Lord. You alone are worthy. You alone deserve our praise. So, Lord, I pray that you would have this time. I thank you for your word that you have left us. I pray as we read these scriptures that we would be able to run as we read it, as we hear it, that we would soak it in, and that you would just have all the honor and glory. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, so we picked it up in chapter 2, where it's the end of Habakkuk's prayer and his questioning of the Lord. The chapter structure has it as verse 1, but it's really the trail end of chapter 1, and then verse 2 through the end is the Lord's response to what Habakkuk is saying. If you turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, you see what's been on the mind of this prophet, what's been burdening him. And we'll read verse 2 and 3. It says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why do you show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention." Right away you see that the prophet is pouring out his heart, saying, "How long will I have to see this evil all around? When are you going to step in and do something, God?" And the Lord's response is pretty fascinating, where it says, "For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe if it had been told unto you." And what he's going to do is raise up a people that's even more wicked than the people of Israel at this time in order to execute just judgment upon them. So there's at this time, the people of Israel are living in an evil and wicked way. And the Lord's response is, "I'm going to raise up an even more wicked people to come in and intervene." So because of that, of course, the response of Habakkuk is that one of questioning, where he goes on and says, he has a word against the Lord, and starting in verse 12, where he says, "Art now thou from everlasting to everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One?" He comes with this reverence, this respect, but it's also this questioning of, "Lord, why are you doing this? What's the meaning behind all of this?" And he's questioning, he's pondering, he's considering the Lord's response for how he's going to execute judgment, but he's doing it in a way of respect and humility. And I love how he ends it, which we read in verse 1 of chapter 2, which says, "I will stand my watch I will set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I will stand upon my watch. If you remember a few months ago when I had spoken, that we talked about the idea of standing and being able just to stand still, even though there's all these troubles coming up against us, even though we're going out into the world, and even like Habakkuk, where we're seeing evil all around us, we don't know what to do. Can we stand firm in the foundation that is Jesus Christ? And Habakkuk gives us this example that even though I'm questioning what's going on around me, even though I'm seeing all this evil, even all this troubles coming against the people, I'm going to stand my watch, and I'm going to watch to see what the Lord is going to do. I think that happens in our prayer life sometimes, is we may set aside time to pray. We may make our requests known to God. We may have an active prayer life. But as soon as we say amen, do we leave, or do we stand our watch waiting for the answer to what we just prayed? It's almost like if you were getting a special delivery and you don't know what day it's going to arrive, but it says that in order to receive the package that you have to be home to sign for it. And if you're there for the moment and it's not coming, and you go and you leave, and then suddenly the package shows up, the answer shows up, but no one's there to receive what was sent. And I wonder sometimes, does that happen with our prayer life? Is we're praying, and then we go and busy ourselves with something else, so the Lord sends an answer to where we were supposed to be, but we're nowhere to be found because we left our post, we left our watch. We did not stand firm in our faith, watching to see what he's going to do. Even the song we just sang at the end of the worship today was saying that, Lord, haste the day when my faith becomes sight. We have these prayers of faith and acting in faith. We know that the just shall live by faith. It says that here. But are we earnestly expecting that we set ourselves to watch what the Lord's going to do, so that in a glimpse, in a moment, we could see what the Lord is doing, that we could see the answer? Are we sending up prayers? Are we making our requests known and then leaving without ever seeing his answer? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am approved. It reminded me, I was doing some studying about the life of a sniper, and it was talking about how snipers, they travel in teams, and what they do, a lot of it has nothing to do with ever pulling a trigger, but a lot of it is gathering information about the enemy, or gathering information about a certain scenario. And what they have to do is they set themselves on a watch. They set themselves in one spot, and oftentimes they will have to stay there in complete silence and motionless for hours or days at a time, just for the hope of gathering one piece of information. It could even be something as simple as two officers or two people walking past each other, and one gives a salute, and now that person who's been watching for hours could say, oh, he must be of importance. Now we have some information about this operation we're going under. And it reminded me of, do we do that with our prayer life? Of, we have been faithful in prayer, do we set ourselves for an hour or a day or however long it's going to take, just for the smallest moment that the God says, now go? Are we setting ourselves, watching and waiting for any moment that the Lord would have us to answer? Are we standing firm in it? Or is it the moment things get too hard, too difficult, we're not seeing anything, we busy ourselves onto the next thing and start all over with new prayers, when the Lord is saying, I could bless you there, I could answer you there, but you're not there? I wonder if we would see the Lord, if we would see our faith a lot more clearer, if we could just stand still in it a little bit longer. If we could set ourselves to say, I'm going to stand watch here. No matter how long it takes, when the Lord shows up, I'm going to be here ready. I'm going to be here watching. How many times in Scripture does the Lord command, and the Lord's people command to watch, for the time is at hand. Are we watching for the Lord in our own personal lives? Are we watching for the return of the Lord in a bigger, broader sense as well? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. What's fascinating about Habakkuk, and the synopsis in my Bible puts it this way, it says that he alone of the prophets was more concerned that the holiness of Jehovah should be vindicated than that Israel should escape chastisement. So he was focused more so on, Lord, I want your holiness to shine. I want your glory to be on display, even if it costs us to go through a tough season. And that's where the end of this verse, where he says, I'm going to stand here and wait to see what the Lord's going to answer and when I am reproved. Even if I need to be corrected, even if I have to go through a season that hurts, I'm going to be right here waiting for it because I have set myself to see what the Lord's going to do in this moment and in this season. It doesn't matter, in a sense, what the Lord is going to answer. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord knows what his plans are. The Lord knows what his ways are. When he comes, no matter when, what time it is, and no matter what the answer is, if it feels good or if it doesn't feel good, you're going to find me in the same position watching and praying. I know I've said, use this example in the past as well, but there's some for intense training, whether it's military or sport or whatever it may be, and say there's an intense week of training to get prepared for what's coming next. What happens is a lot of the participants, if they're going to quit, they're going to quit within the first couple of days. It's statistically proven that if you get to a certain point, say it is just a week, if you can make it to Wednesday with the training, chances are you're going to finish until the end. It's in those first moments that you're more susceptible to give in and quit. And that's where you see here where it's standing upon the tower and I will watch to see what he will say to me is, I don't know when it's going to come, but I'm going to stay here and watch as long as it takes. Sometimes, too, we can be so energized in our prayers and be encouraged and strengthened that this is the will of the Lord. This is what I should be praying. I trust that he's going to give me an answer. And then some time goes by, and that's where we start wavering, right? Because at first we have that confidence, but as time starts going by, we start to doubt a little bit and say, oh, maybe I didn't pray the right thing, or maybe the Lord's not going to intervene this time. But it's in those moments that can we say, I set myself to watch, no matter what my doubts say, no matter how much I want to go back and forth, I have made a promise that I'm going to stand on my watch and I'm going to see what the Lord can do. It's not busying ourselves in our own things, going from thing to thing to thing, hoping that the Lord blesses one of them. It's can we have a dedicated focus that this is what I'm asking of the Lord. This is my request, and I'm going to sit here and watch and see what the Lord is going to answer in prayer. Let's turn to a few verses. Let's go to the end of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, just one verse in 1 Corinthians 16, 13. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. Just a simple exhortation to watch and stand fast in the faith. Let the Lord do his thing. Let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. This is a passage about putting on the armor of God. I'm sure you've heard it a number of times throughout. And we'll just read one verse We'll read two verses here. But Ephesians chapter 6, it starts by saying in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that you may be able to stand firm what comes against." And then you have the whole examples of all the different pieces broken down. But then take it one verse further in verse 18, which says this, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Praying always with all prayer. Okay, that could mean praying individually, praying with another brother or sister, praying in a group together, praying in silence, praying as you go for a walk, praying on your knees. It does, all these things, there's so many ways to pray. Basically just saying, pray. Whatever way, pray always with supplication in the Spirit. That supplication is it's almost like a raw emotional type of bringing everything out before the Lord. That it's more than just a quick prayer and then on with your day. It's a type of prayer that's in humility and just coming to a lowly state of just pouring it out before the Lord, saying there's no one else that can answer this but you. And just bringing it all out before the Lord in the Spirit. And then what does it say? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication again for all the saints. That perseverance, however long it takes, I'm going to continue in this fervent prayer. And I'm going to watch for the answer there. And it goes on, we'll read one more verse here as we transition back to Habakkuk. But it says in verse 19, the next verse, it says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." The order of events there, of putting on the armor of God and then praying in all kinds of prayer and supplication and watching, and then being able to then take that and preach the God boldly and openly and clearly. And I found it fascinating that that's the Lord's first response. If you go back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 says this, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it." Write the vision, make it plain, make it clear. We tend to overcomplicate things, especially in our Christian life. Especially when we're preaching the things of the gospel, sometimes it can be so complex, so deep, so much past finding out the mysteries of the scriptures. But so many times we're reminded, just keep it simple, make it plain. Right? Write the vision, make it plain, make it clear, make it easy to understand, so that he may run that reads it. Not that he may, that reads it, may run. It's saying that he may run that reads it. So if you're presenting plainly the gospel to someone, is your heart attitude that of, once they receive this, they could take off with it, and that they could run, they could expand it even further, and it could spread? Do we have this mindset that when we read the scriptures, that when we're hearing a message, that when we're spending time with the Lord, and we're watching and waiting for him, that the moment an answer comes, we're ready to run with it? It's not just going to be a slow walk sometimes. Even a lot of business owners will say this when it comes to starting out their business and when they hit their success, is that for a while it seems like nothing's happening. For a long time, nothing's happening. And then it comes all at once. And that's a common thing that's shared among business owners, is this idea that it looks like nothing is working. And then all of a sudden, it takes off. And that's the idea. If we're watching and waiting, sometimes it seems like it's hours, it's days. We're just pouring ourselves out before the Lord in prayer and not seeing anything. And then all of a sudden, we get that one piece from the Lord, and it's time to go. Now we could go run. Because we have understood, we have spent time with the Lord, we have poured ourselves out in humility and reverence before him, and we have stayed in the fight long enough to hear his response, So now when he answers, that little glimpse, that little thing, our eyes have been fixed on him. So it seems may seem small, it may seem like a quick, subtle piece of information, because you have spent time with the Lord and his will, because you have poured out, because some of those things in your life may have even been cut away, now when that answer comes, you're ready for it. There's nothing more discouraging sometimes when you get an answer, you get an opportunity, and you're faced right in front of that opportunity, and you realize, I'm not prepared for it. I'm not ready for it. I know this is a good opportunity, but the reality is, I just can't do it right now because I haven't set myself ahead of time. However, when you're standing firm in the faith, when you're praying in the Lord's will, when you have set yourself to your watch and you're focused on the Lord, it becomes a lot easier to know when he gives you something. All right, he must think I'm ready. Let's go. But there is, in a sense, a warning to it as well. Because as we're watching and waiting, and it seems like it's taking time, we're going to get into verse 3 now where it says, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. There's times where it's going to seem like it's taking forever, where it seems slow, and it's just not ever going to come. And I think in those moments, I know even for me personally, that's where I tend to waver. That's where I tend to doubt. That's where I tend to not want to stand fast anymore. Because I have prayed, because I have set myself to watch, and now some time's going by, and now the thoughts are starting to creep in of, maybe I am doing this in vain. Maybe I am not where I need to be. Maybe I am really not ready for this, and the Lord's not going to answer at all. And I start doubting him, and I start doubting the situation, and now I'm tossed to and fro, and the Lord can't bless that spot there. I know some of you play video games, and there's a few where your characters may have different abilities, and I'm thinking of one in particular where, say there's a medic or support character that gives healing, and the only way the rest of the team can be healed is if you're in vicinity to that person, and that if you're staying still, right? And if you're playing a lot of online video games, you'll hear people start complaining, get all frustrated, and it's like, can you just stand still so I could give you the help you need? And sometimes I wonder if the Lord's saying that, saying, I know what you need, can you just stand still so I can give it to you there? Or do we busy ourselves again, wavering and wandering to and fro, running all over the place, busying ourselves with cares of this life, and the Lord saying, I have your answer here, why are you over there? I told you, I want you in my will to do this here, why do I keep finding you over there? I want to give you a blessing here. It's not that I'm not answering you, it's that you're not at your watch to receive what I'm sending. I will stand upon my watch and will watch to see what he will say to me. We're going to jump to verse 4 now. We're going to continue that thought in verse 3 and 4 as we're going to touch some other passages in the remainder of our time. But now it goes into this idea of pride. It says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. It gives this contrast, and you'll start to see as we touch in different passages going forward, this contrast between the proud in heart and those who are walking with the Lord. And here you see the first one where it's, his soul is lifted up, is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. The just that are those who are morally right, those who are in tune with the will of God, those who are walking uprightly. The soul that is proud is not walking rightly. The soul that is walking rightly is one who lives by his faith. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. We'll read a few verses from here. Starting in verse 5 says this, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Verse 18, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. It's not just that it's a small matter. It's a very serious thing. A very contrast to what God desires is this idea of being prideful in your own self. And I came across in a synopsis studying some of these passages that pride doesn't discriminate between people. You could be so proud in your success, and you could be so proud in your struggle. You could be so proud in your eloquence, and you could be so proud in the simplistic nature that you have. You could be so proud in your talent, or you can be so proud in how you make things work even though you're not the most talented. See, it doesn't discriminate between people. That even the wealthiest and highest up and the things that the world celebrates, you could be proud in that, but you could also be proud at the lowest end. Proud doesn't discriminate. It's what's in the heart. That we have all fallen into this idea of being prideful, of being selfish. So many times whenever I mess up and I'm considering why that happened, almost all the time I go back to, it's because I was selfish in that situation. I was considering my own ways, my own self first, and then everything else came because of it. Everything evil starts with that self, that pride that comes from it. It's an abomination to the Lord. But there is that contrast that the just shall live by faith. So how do we live in a life that is not one of being too proud? Let's continue again in 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. We started today saying with the Lord's command where he said, watch and pray. He was saying this to Peter specifically, knowing what was going to come upon them that evening. To the rest of the disciples, they didn't know that a whole group of soldiers was going to come and Judas was going to come and kiss the Lord and betray him, and that Peter was going to cut off Malchus's ear, and that they were going to go down this whole chain of events and Peter was going to stumble and deny the Lord three times. And I wonder if he was able to stay up that hour and watch and pray. Of course, the events would have still unfolded and the Lord still would have went to the cross. But I wonder if Peter would have been able to have the strength and the faith not to deny the Lord if he was able to watch and pray just the moments before. So now it's the same Peter then repeating some of these things, the lessons that he has learned, and now it comes out in 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 5. And read down a little bit. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, makes you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here you see now another serious point that God resists the proud, or some other translations may say God opposes the proud. Those who are proud are abomination to the Lord. God resists the proud. God opposes the proud. And we all fall short and have moments in our lives where we can be too prideful, too selfish. But it doesn't just stop there. It says God gives grace to the humble. So now we're starting to see a few more pieces where the contrast to being too prideful is the just shall live by faith. And now it says the contrast to being prideful is to act in humility, to be humble, and that God is the only one who could give that type of grace and help you in that humility. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He's the only one that could pour out the blessings. He's the only one that could pour out into your situation where you're standing, where you're watching. But it comes from this idea of humbling yourselves under the hand of the Lord. And the prophet Habakkuk gave us that example that even though he's questioning some of the things that the Lord is doing, he's coming with a reverential respect and humility of, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm questioning, but whatever you answer, I'm going to be here for it. Are we humble in our prayers as we're watching, as we're waiting, understanding that it takes time, understanding that it takes endurance, understanding that it takes patience? Are we acting in a state of humility, or are we busying ourselves in our own pride? And then it says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Or it's saying, be serious, be watchful. Be on the watch, constantly be on the lookout for what the Lord is going to do in your life, but also be watchful for what areas in your life where you may struggle in. Be on the lookout. Take heed unto your own selves. If you know that every time you hang out with a certain group of people, you tend to fall into the same traps, maybe it's now, okay, I'm watchful in that. I'm going to avoid those situations. It's being open and honest with ourselves and humble enough to say, I fall short in these areas. I need to be on the lookout because I could fall at any moment here. And he says, the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Remember, this is Peter speaking. Remember Peter, who the enemy went before the Lord and said that he desired to sift him like wheat. Peter has firsthand knowledge of what it's like to be toe-to-toe with the enemy, to stumble, to fall, to be in a state of pride, to not be able to watch and pray for an hour as he fell asleep, and the effects that came from that. And he's now in humility sharing this, saying, be serious, be watchful. These things are real. These things really happen. But are you going to be in a position to stand fast? Are you going to be in a position to stand your watch, to stand your post? Whatever may come. And of course, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I love this word, after, because it implies that you have to go through something sometimes. It's not just avoiding the situation. It's setting yourself that I got to stand watch here, even though all this may come against me, right? Even the example of Habakkuk again, where it was more important the holiness of God than it was that I would be comfortable in my situation. Lord, whatever you have to do to meet me here, I'm going to be found here by you. And Christ Jesus himself, after you have suffered a little bit, will make you perfect, established, strengthened, and finally settled. Still before the Lord. Continuing that thought with that word after, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And this is one of the spots where what was written in Habakkuk comes out. There's three passages in the New Testament that says the just shall live by faith, which was first termed in Habakkuk. So you'll see that part, and you'll see another part that we just read in chapter 2 come out here. So Hebrews chapter 10, let's read verse 35 and go from there. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So here the writer of Hebrews is saying, understanding the heart of the people he's writing to, where their confidence is shaken a little bit. They might be doubting. They might be wavering. They might not be able to stand firm and watch. And he's saying, don't cast away your confidence. There's great reward if you could stay strong in the faith of the Lord. You have need of patience. You have need of endurance. You have need to be able to stand in the middle of whatever you're going through and saying, I'm watching for the Lord in it. And I'm not going to run to the other solutions that the world may offer. That's where verse 39 says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. That means we're not going to draw back into our old sinful ways. Even though this may not have turned out the way we hoped and expected it to yet, we're going to stand firm in our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We're not going to draw back to the way we were. Cast not away your confidence. You're almost there. And then it says in verse 36, after, this word after again, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And I wonder sometimes too, if we're considering our ways, considering the Lord, and we're seeing why He's not blessing us there, and we're wondering, Lord, why haven't you done what you promised? You promised these things. Why am I not seeing it? A good question to ask ourselves is, have we done what the Lord has asked us to yet? Are we in the will of God in that moment, in that season, after you have done the will of God? And maybe that's our starting point in our prayers is, Lord, show me your will in this situation. I know what I want to do. I know how I want to see this through. But Lord, if you're going to keep bringing this up against me, I want to know what your will is here. And then after that's done, okay, now it's time to receive the promise. After you have suffered a little bit, after you have done the will, after you have set yourself to watch, the Lord's going to find you there. And He will not delay. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and it will not tarry. Before we break down this verse, just think about the idea of, if you ever had prayed for anything or asked for anything, or even you're working for something and it's years and years and years go by with not too much to draw from. And when it finally does come, it doesn't even matter that it took that long to get there. You're just so happy that the Lord pieced it all together at this moment, at this time. I remember when I had finally gotten a studio space for my business, where I just stood in there and just thought about how many years and how many different trials I had to go through, and that at the end of it, I was standing there, and it didn't matter that it took this long. And I even thought, I was praising the Lord, saying I wasn't ready for it any sooner than this. That even if it does take years and years to come into being, the moment when it finally does come, you're just so thankful that it's there, that it doesn't even matter how long that it took. The Lord says, I could restore the years. I could restore all that time that was wasted, even if it was in your own pridefulness and sinfulness and selfishness. The Lord says, once that time finally does come, and He says, it will come, now I could restore the years. But don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your endurance. stay in the fight a little bit longer. It will come. And now let's look at verse 37 and see if you could recognize the difference between what Habakkuk said and the little bit of difference said here. It says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Habakkuk chapter 2, it said, for yet a little while, and it shall come and will not tarry. See, that little bit of difference, that as events have unfolded, as years have gone by, to now the Lord Jesus Christ has come, was crucified, rose again, and now one day he will come back. Now the author of Hebrews is able to take just a small little bit of detail and say that it that Habakkuk was talking about is now the he, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Sometimes it's just that simple of a difference, where if you're watching and standing in the Lord can give you one little piece of information that you can run with. It's that close. And that says, now the just shall live by faith. An example, again, of being able to live by faith. And we'll go a little bit, let's read the next chapter, which is the chapter of faith, widely known in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And remember, we looked at earlier how the contrast between being proud in heart and walking in faith, that they're two opposites. You're either walking in pride and in self, or you're walking in faith. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the faith. The Lord delights and is pleased when we walk in faith. And when does faith come mostly? When you're going through trials and you're going through situations where you can't see what's going on. Can you still stand firm and say, I'm going to set my watch that I can watch and see so that my faith becomes sight, as we sung this morning, it is well with my soul. Are we people who live in faith, who could stand firm in Christ Jesus, knowing our foundation is built on him, so that when everything comes out around us, we're still set on our watch, ready for any moment to come? Let's go back to Habakkuk. If you have time this week, I would encourage you to read the whole book. It's only three chapters. We just touched on a few verses and the start of the Lord's response to this prayer. But I like in verse 20 of chapter 2, and it ends with this, where it says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. This idea of being still and silent, not busying ourselves, not anxious with, is he going to do this? Is he not? Should I do this? Should I do that? Wavering back and forth. This idea of keep silence, be still before the Lord. It made me think of, if you ever watched any of those, either the business shows or competition shows, where you see someone may have an idea for a product or something that they're presenting to a panel of judges, and they'll give their pitch, they'll give their presentation, and now it's time for the judge, in a sense, to be able to say, are we gonna invest in you, type of thing. And sometimes you see people in that moment, they gave their pitch, they gave their presentation, and before the person even has time to say yes or no, they say, but wait one second, I need this so bad, you don't understand, you can't say no. And they just start going on this rant and this panic of the reality that this person holding their fate may say no. And it, you're watching it sitting there, and it's almost like you're cringing, just being like, just you gave your presentation, just sit there and wait for an answer. And it's almost the same thing with the Lord, where you had that time of fervent prayer, you had that time of supplication, you have this time of giving it before the Lord. He already knows what you need. He already knows what he's going to answer you. Can you have your confidence to say, Lord, whatever you answer, yes or no, whatever it may be, if you have a correction, if you have something else, if you know I'm not ready yet, either way, I'm standing here ready for you, silent for your answer. When we pray and say amen, does it end there? Or do we watch and wait, expecting with confidence, with endurance, that he's going to do what he promised? Habakkuk ends this in chapter 3. We'll read a few verses here to close. Habakkuk 3, 16 to the end. Before we read that, it's fascinating too how many times in this little book where you see him going before the Lord, getting a response from the Lord, and then going back to the Lord. And it's almost this communication, this back and forth with the Lord of, yes, I'm watching for a response. Something has come up to give me an answer. Let me go back to you, Lord, and check to see if this is what you meant. Do we have that type of relationship with the Lord where we're going back and forth, communicating with him, making sure that we're just not tossed to and fro by anything that comes up? Right? I think it's amazing sometimes to say, even for example, say you have a bill due and it's coming closer and closer to that time. It's amazing how many thoughts start running to your through your mind of how I'm going to get this money. And a lot of it isn't what the Lord would have. But we start to play tricks on ourselves in our mind and in our heart, thinking that, oh, I've been praying for this. It must be this. But sometimes we have to be able to be strong in our watching to know, okay, this is just a distraction. I'm still waiting for an answer from the Lord. Sometimes the first answer isn't the Lord answering. We have to be able to watch with endurance to know, I'm going to wait as long as it takes for his answer. And then the moment he gives his answer, it's going to be clear. And then we could run with it. So look at that model of prayer of Habakkuk, where he's going back and forth with the Lord, bringing it back before him. And then he closes with this, verse 16. He says, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on the string instruments. It's amazing how you see the rawness and the trouble that's expected to come up against the people now. Although all this is going to come up against him, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There's a song called Even If, and it's basically saying that, Lord, at any moment, I know you could just speak the word and it would be done with. Everything that I'm going through, if you just say the word, it's over and done. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. And I wonder, in those moments where we're watching, where we're waiting, where we're setting ourselves to hear from the Lord, and things are getting even worse, right? It's even a more wicked people that are coming against the people in Habakkuk's time. Even wicked people is coming up against them. All this is all around, all this evil. Why do I have to see it? But even when all else fails, everything falls away, you could say, my strength is in Christ alone. My joy is in the Lord. My hope is in him. Whatever may come, even if he never delivers on another promise again, even if I never see it come to pass, I have hope in one thing and one thing only, and that is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's close. Dear Father, I thank you and praise you for this time. I thank you for this book and the prophet Habakkuk. And I thank you for his heart and his burden for the people of Israel in that day, and his reverence and his trust in you alone, waiting for an answer, watching for it. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who came to be that answer, that we could watch and pray and have access to the Almighty God, the Holy One. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength to be able to watch. Give us the strength, Lord, to know that even when things come against us, that it is for your glory and for your honor. And if we have to stay in the fight a little bit longer so that you get the credit, we'll do just that. Lord, it is your mercy, it is your grace that you have not stepped in and intervened yet. That even though the world around us might be a wicked place, there are those being saved each and every day, that one day they will enter into your glory forever and ever. So Lord, if we have to go through the trials a little bit longer so that others may be saved, so be it. But Lord, we can only do it because of your grace. I pray that you would give us more grace. Help us to be humble. And it's in the name of Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.